God was so good to us. And boy, I tell you, it's just like people sitting around just eating. I mean it. And when you eat that good, it's hard to walk away from the table. I'm telling you, when you're eating, it's that good. I mean it. Just and you'll believe it or not, your heart feeds my heart. That's right. If what I'm saying is a feeding you, then I promise you, and your receiving's feeding me. Heart feeds heart. That thing's a give and take. I mean, it goes both ways. While people sitting there eating, it's just like that woman fixed that big old meal. I'm telling you, people sitting there just enjoying what she's put on the table. Boy, I mean, you know, they just eating it up. And while she's sitting there watching everybody enjoy it, that's a blessing her. It's a blessing her. That's why it's a fool to sit around and criticize the wise foods. Right. Laboring over that, man comes in, says ugly things. That's crazy. That's just crazy. So, you know, if you can't say nothing good, just don't say nothing at all. I'm not going to encourage you to lie. I wouldn't want you to do that, but just don't say anything at all. I'm going to McDonald's. Give me something decent. You're an idiot. Go down to McDonald's, get you a Big Mac. Takes 3 hours to digest that thing and 21 hours to break down the trans fats. And you get sodium cramps, and your brain tells you it's not sodium cramps, that it's hunger pains. And so you go get more French fries and more Big Macs, and you just can't never get sat. That's right. Sodium cramps act like food cramps, hunger cramps, and it makes people go eat more. And that's why America's walking around like this today. Looking like Fat Albert. Going to have a good time. Hey. Going to McDonald's. Going to have a good time. Going to McDonald's. Please turn around. Have to go back because you think you're hungry again after you eat, and you really ain't. It's just all that sodium. So, all right. Got none today. That was free. That infomercial was free. Look at, I tell you what. You don't have to go there unless you just want to. But Songs of Songs says this. Chapter 8, verse number 6 says, set me as a seal upon thine heart, and as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death, and jealousy is as cruel as the grave. Now, we've heard Brother Sammy quote that all of our life. The coals thereof, of jealousy, the coals thereof, are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement heat. Don't get much worse than jealousy. Don't get any hotter than that. Nothing burns within a man. Nothing will consume a man any faster, any hotter than that old green-eyed mustard Brother Allen talks about. And we have to agree with his commentary on it that grave, we all know, separates mamas from children, husbands from wives. Right? The grave. When you go to the grave, you bury your mama. No more mama here on earth. You bury your spouse. No more that spouse on earth. You can bury your children. No more. Them children's no longer. That's what jealousy does. Jealousy will separate a husband from a wife. Jealousy will separate a mama from a son. A mama from a daughter. Jealousy, a green-eyed mustard, it separates people. It causes division. And the Bible said these things ought not be. Them things ought not be. They're not coming there. But jealousy, and you say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about some people just eat up with jealousy. Some people just eat up with jealousy. Some people just eat up with jealousy. I won't mention no names, but I know a man very well. I know a man very well that if he does go out to eat, he can't even look at the waitress and order the food. I mean, he has to look off and order his food. And I said hell will freeze over before my wife controls me to the point where I can't even look at the waitress and order my food. I mean, I can look at my waitress without, you know, having to flirt and get her phone, right? I mean, you know the difference between placing an order and flirting, don't you? You know, but I mean, if he looks at her and places his order, says, I want to get me some of them ribs and I want, you know, some slaw on the side. And if he looks at her, she'll be quiet. Well, I saw you look at her. Boy, I'm tell you what, my wife did me like that. I said, you better believe I looked at her. I looked at her all the way. That's right. I'd look at her real good and hard. Jealousy. Jealousy's cruel as the grave, friend. And it'll break some fellowship between, it divides a husband and a wife. A husband and a wife got jealousy toward each other. That's a discord there, but I'm telling you to cause a problem. Some people eat up with it. Number 5. Fornication. Some people eat up with fornication. What's the Bible say about it? Well, what is fornication? It's in relationships outside of marriage, being married. It's what people do before they get married. It's, you know, sexual relationships. And I heard somebody say something about pornography one time. Some preacher on the radio said, well, give me a definition of pornography. He said, it's love without responsibility. Just sex without any responsibility. You know, just flinging, man, just having a time fulfilling the lust of that old flesh. No strings attached. No responsibility there. So, but here's what the Bible said about fornication. Listen real careful, because it's what the Bible, let it not be named once among you. Isn't that something? Don't let fornication be named among you one time, he said. Pretty good, eh? Some people's eat up with it. We're living in a fornicated world. I'm telling you, we go to these little youth meetings and they want to get off on all these little feel good tangents. And I'm all for a feel good tangent. I guess I am. I don't know. Half time it ticks me off. And sitting in there, everybody sitting around fornicating and men sitting in there lusting after little old girls home, cutting in there, and the little girls talking about all the stuff they did out on the streets before they come in this home and met the Lord. And them men sitting out there about half perverted in their minds start wandering and start lusting in their minds, and then they want to get, shut up. What you ought to do is be on that altar laying aside the weights and the sins that so easily beset you. And them little boys and girls get in there, start running around, testifying all a bunch of sensuality and emotionalism and caught up in fornication. Look, get that junk right. Get that junk right. Amen. Amen, preacher. That's right. Then number six. What else does people eat up with? We're going to get somewhere. People eat up with covetousness. You can tell this when it comes to offering and tithing time. I'm telling you, church, there's some causes. There's some needs in this old world. There's some needs out there. But you can always tell about covetousness when it's time to pass the offering plate. People just can't hardly give. People just don't want to give to the work of the Lord. And sometimes about halfway you understand, because so many people's crooked and done so many wrong things. But I tell you what, I don't give unto man. I give as unto the Lord. Listen to me. I give us unto the Lord. If that man takes that stuff and buys a shipment of heroin, that's on him, son. I gave us unto the Lord. Amen. And I've had pastors in the past that was money hungry. They loved money. Couldn't get enough of it. And take advantage of anybody that wanted to sell out to God. I mean, man, they'd take every dime you got. You know? But I didn't give us unto them. I gave us unto the Lord. Whatever they did with it, that's on them, friend. That's on them. I tried to be obedient unto God and to my giving. And so give till it hurts most of the time. But that covetousness, people's eat up with it. That's right. If you can't give, listen, I don't like to even talk much about offerings. Listen to me real good. If you can't give out of a happy spirit, don't give. If you can't be cheerful about what you give, if you're not excited about being able to give, don't you, when you get your paycheck and you start counting them tithes, don't you kind of get excited? I mean, y'all, really, don't you kind of get it? Man, I do. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm a good person, all that, but I get excited about being able to give back to the Lord. If you can't do that, let me encourage you, don't give till you get your heart right with God, and God turns, you know, because here's what the Bible said, God loveth a cheerful giver. He don't even love what you're doing. If that stuff's given grudgingly and all that, God just assume you keep it. He don't have to have it like that, no. And so that covetousness, man, that covetousness will make you give grudgingly. Right? Get rid of that junk. And that boy's locked on to me, son. He's after some money or something. He's on me like a tick on a hound. I'm telling you, he's on me. I like it. Amen. For 3 weeks, John David has been locked in. And old Steve sitting over our JD's is sick, can't even hardly leave. I believe you in the lead, son. I believe you in the lead. How about this? How about people just being eat up with drunkenness? We think about drunkenness, just, you know, alcohol. But drunkenness is anything that like drugs is drunkenness. That stuff that consumes you like that. I mean, that's drunk. But we're not be consumed with things that alters our thinking. Or not be consumed. That's drunkenness. Stuff that alters your thinking. And if it alters the way you think, it'll not consume you. And the devil take advantage of that. Hey, what's this? What else do people let consume? They let their problems consume them, don't they? Don't we let our problems consume us sometimes? Sometimes them problems get so big. And man, that's all we can dwell on is is what's wrong. Amen. Our problems, our troubles, they've eaten us up. But I want to remind you today that the zeal of the Lord wants to consume you. The zeal of the Lord wants to consume you. That was our text. That was the part that I left from. The zeal of the Lord wants to consume you. Amen. Been on fire for God, doing something for Him, the work of the Lord, the service of the Lord, living for Him, raising a family for Him, loving your wife, loving your children. Man, all that just ought to consume us. That's the zeal of the Lord. Amen. The things that God's into, that ought to be consuming us. Amen. And you know the best place to start with where God wants? Right down there in your home. That's the best. That's why I dwell on it like I do. I'm a home preacher. I love the home. I believe in the home. And I like dwelling on that. I like talking about it. But people let their problems consume them. God is a problem solver, ladies and gentlemen. You know this. Just cast all your cares on Him, for He careth for you. And be troubled, be careful for nothing, but in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. That's it. Number 9. How about this old flesh? Flesh consumes us, JD. Oh, it just consumes us, eats us up. Just can't be satisfied. We just spend so much time and money and life just satisfying this stinking old flesh. Can't get enough clothes, can't get a big enough house, can't make enough money, can't drive a nice enough car. Just old flesh, old flesh. And in your situation, probably can't get a pretty girl. You know, just eat up with that junk, you know. Ugly boys don't deserve pretty girls, son. Just get that in your head. You probably gonna get you a big fat, fat, fatty and, you know, that's just, hey, praise the Lord. That'd be fine. And then people's eat up with vanity. Eat up with vanity. John David, Steve, I'm talking to you, not John David. But you're happy, but that's fine. That's good. I'm glad at least you're happy. He received the Lord, the word of the Lord joyfully. I like that. But he likes them little old beaners anyway. Vanity eats people alive. Things that don't even matter. I passed a woman this morning. Look up here. I passed a woman this morning. She couldn't even drive. She's so stuck up in that mirror. All up in that mirror. What is that? Vanity. Worried about what somebody looks like. Worried about that. What I look like. What I look like. Who gives a flip what you look like? You're ugly. How about that? Hey, what is it? Vain. What? Oh, want somebody to say something. Boy, your hair looks nice. Yeah, your wrinkles look real good today. That's right. Them gray hairs is just plumb pretty. What's wrong? Vain. That old vain. Vanity, man. That stuff don't matter. How about comforts? Comforts eats us up, don't it? Complacency. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Hey, Michael, I come back from Mississippi, and one of the hardest things to ever do is get out of complacency. Well, maybe not for you, but it was for me. Speak for myself. How about that? I can't give you a scripture to prove that, so I just had to speak for myself. But I came back from Mississippi, man, I'm telling you, after about 6 weeks down there, the fight started. I didn't know people was like that. I didn't know people did that kind of stuff. Man, I'm telling you, it was on, boy. It was on. I'm talking about, I say fights. I mean fights. Fights. People fighting, fist fighting in the church and fights breaking out after church, fights in the parking lot, fights in the back room, fights. And every week it was with me. I mean, they wanted to fight me. And I'm like, man, I'm too little. There's like 12 of y'all and one of me. So I'd bring my gun in there and lay it down and say, let's fight. Let's fight. And that's just the way I tried to handle them. Let's fight. And then I'd pick them out. Sir, you're not a member here. Get your tail out of here. Shut up. Get out of here. You're not a member. You're not going to sit here and do this. You're not even a member here. Why are you in here? What are you doing? Shut up. And then the chairs would, literally Kruger metal chairs would start flying and bouncing. And I'd sit there and watch. It was like a circus. They were all mad at me, but they were killing each other. And I'm going, what in the world, man? Boy, when I pulled that old U-Haul up here and I parked in Louisville, North Carolina, and I opened that door and I went, whew, I found me a seed of complacency. Because for the first week in a long time, they wasn't no fiery darts. They just wasn't no fiery darts coming my way, and I wasn't blocking and shielding and defending, and I wasn't just, you know, on the cut. It was like I just got to put my hands down and breathe, and nothing was going on. I wasn't doing nothing for God. The devil wasn't raising hell. Wasn't nobody mad. And I liked it, JD. I liked it so much that I sat over there and I went, man, this is good. I like this. I'm going to stay here a while. And I stayed right over there in that seat of do absolutely nothing but comfort until God was about sick and tired of it. And I had to try to find my way out of that seat. And I'm telling you, it was a hard, that thing has suction cups in it. I'm telling you, it wants to keep you there. I mean, the devil had a hold of the bottom of that thing and they wouldn't let me. Comfort. How about standing at ease at Zion? How about just easy? How about, boy, everybody just eat up with this little easy lifestyle? Oh, it's so much easier to do this than it is to do that. We eat up. How about, you know what all this stuff makes? It makes us very slothful. People's eat up with laziness. People's eat up with laziness today. And God help us not to be slothful. Slothful towards life, slothful towards our family, slothful towards the things that God, man, putting off. Whose flesh in here likes to pray? Whose flesh is, man, yeah, woo, yeah, praise the Lord, I get to go pray. Nobody's flesh does that. Your flesh will start telling you how bad you feel, your flesh will get to feeling real good and tired. Man, you don't want to jump in that closet and grab the horns of that altar. The just shall live by faith. And we know that we're supposed to go in there and pray, and whether you feel like it or not, and just can't be lazy concerning the things of God. Whew. Steve, I heard him say yesterday, Michael, Wichita State has 15,000 students. Wichita State has 15,000 students. They have a church, on-campus church. Beautiful stained glass building, had pews, pulpit, the whole nine yards. A lot of colleges have them. They have where Matthew's at up there. They got a Catholic place. They've got a Baptist place. And it's a campus church. And you can go in there and have church. And, but over at Wichita State, it's a Christian school, they said. 15,000 students. 14,000 of them are Christians. What they said. 14,000 of them. Christians. They've took the pews out of the Baptist church. They've took the pulpit out. They brought Muslim prayer rugs in there and laid them across the front. They took the altars out and they gave it over to the Muslims. And the people's on there blasting the school. Ladies and gentlemen, they're blasting the school for doing this. And I went, what? There's 14,000 so-called Christians and you're blaming the school for taking the pews and the altars and the... That comes down to them 14,000 Christians. That doesn't come over them reprobates that's running that school. That's where the 14,000 Christians have to have an inkling of an ounce of God about them. Go stand up, get a hold of God, and let God fix that thing. Got nothing to do with the administration. Nothing to do. I just responded. I said, well, then them people's God ain't enough to fill a stinking thimble if 14,000 of them can't stand up to 1,000 Muslims and God prevail. Somebody... puny God, wouldn't you think? That's a mighty puny God that y'all serve, 14,000 of you. You let them folks come over against them Jews. Amen. You let about 10,000 of them come up against on one of them Jews over there. Watch who prevails. Amen. 14,000, they sitting over there running their mouth. I'll tell you, poor Christians been done so wrong. Bless God, them Christians wouldn't pray and get a hold of God. They wouldn't know God from a goat if they met each one of them in an alley. Wouldn't know it. Poor Christians, they ain't even Christians. That ain't Christianity, folks. God help us. Well, just slothful. And it's a whole lot easier to grab a microphone and a sign, listen, and go out on the street. Oh, bro, dead. Oh, we're against it. Versus going in there when there ain't nobody shining no lights on you and filming you and all that. Getting a hold of the horns of that altar and pray until God breaks through. Man, try that one. Try that one on. Try that for about 8 hours one day and see how that works out for you. Woo! Well, how about Hollywood? Some people just consume with Hollywood. It's amazing that we know more about our ball teams. We know more about the statistics. We know more about the names of the actors. We know more about the movie than we do about the Word of God. I'm trying to move on because people's just consumed with things, with Hollywood. Things that they know more about the movies in the cinema than they do about the message that man of God preached last week. Sure. Well, I ain't being ugly. I ain't picking on y'all. You understand? Listen to me, and I'm trying to hurry. I don't want to hound you. You understand that? And I'm not saying this. If Michael was here, if Michael wasn't here, I'm not basing this on, about just have regrets because he is here. You understand that one of America's greatest preachers came by here last week? I don't say that because he's here. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying it because his son's sitting in this congregation. Everybody that knows me knows I believe he's probably one of the greatest preachers in America today. I've put him, and I'm not comparing him, but when I hear of him, when his name comes up, if I was to put him in a category, he's in that category with me as far as I'm concerned with the Lester Roloffs and the Harold Seitlers, and they ain't but a handful, ladies and gentlemen. He's in that category with the Sammy Allens and the Greens, Don Green and Oliver B. Green. Yeah, he's right there in that same category. I put him right there with the top-notch preachers that's ever come across America. Yeah. Here we are on a little old side of nowhere land, and nobody hardly knows about it, but we pick up a phone because a great man of God's coming through. I don't know how to put things in perspective, don't know how to say things sometimes, but it's just God's man. And you hear me? A man sent from God came by. And I know and understand and can appreciate how big this is, what an opportunity this is, and you get on the phone and you start calling people, and man, please, and I mean begging them, literally begging them, and you call back and you ask more and you call back and you ask more and you call back and you ask more and you keep going until they don't even respond anymore. People so eat up with laying over in that bed. Do you hear me? They're so eat up with getting a couple more minutes of sleep. They couldn't care less about the man of God. People are so eat up with the things of this world that they can't even spend time with the man of God. It's amazing. It's just amazing. What's eat them up? People blow off the man of God for sleep, for sports. They make up every kind of excuse in the world. I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm telling you, bud. People had an opportunity last week to hear from God's man. They couldn't care less if they heard or not. And, I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about the people that we invited. We invited and laid it out there for people. They didn't care. Because they're eat up with everything else. Eat up. Eat up. Well, what should we be eat up with? I'll give you a couple things and we'll be done. Number one, we ought to be eat up with hate. What? John David, a child of God, or be eat up with hate. So, let me tell you what Psalms 97:10, and I've preached it in here before. Psalms 97:10 says, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Right. You're to hate evil. You're to, the evil or to sometimes absolutely eat you up. When evil starts prevailing, and boy, ain't it prevailing in our land everywhere you look, and I'm telling you, that hate just gets up in me, and I absolutely hate it. Hate it. It's grievous. It vexes my soul, vexes my spirit. Man, I hate it. What are you talking about? I'm just telling you, if you was ever delivered out of booze, you ought to have a hate for booze like nobody else. If God ever delivered you from dope, you ought to have a hate in your heart for dope like it's nobody's business. If God's ever delivered you from discord or problems, hey man, you ought to hate that junk like they ain't no tomorrow. I mean, there ought to be a perfect and a godly hatred toward it. Ought to be. Do you remember when the children of Israel was down there in Egypt? And the Egyptians was taking their babies, and they done taught them Israelite women how to abort their babies, and they was killing. They was literally taking their babies and killing them. They was taking their children and killing them. They were taking their wives and raping them. The Egyptians was taking them Israelite women and raping them. They would take them. They would take those men out to the stocks and tie them up and beat them to a stinking pulp. Take them back over there to the brick job and throw them up on the wall and make them lay brick all day long with blood running out of them. Just man, punish and work. Take their tools away from them and make them increase their work, make them work harder even without tools than with tools. You remember what them stupid idiots done when they got over there in the wilderness? They got to complain. I mean, they got to going through a couple hard times, faced a couple troubles and problems, and they got over there and said, we would to God we was back in Egypt where we had all that food and we had life just for, hey, where in the name of God did they come up with they had all the food? There was times when them Egyptians said, you know what? Y'all don't even get to eat today, but you're going to work like a bunch of dogs. None of that happened. None of that happened. They never did get to eat everything they wanted to eat. They didn't have life the way they wanted it. You know what happened, Miss Stephanie? They got over there in the wilderness, started having a hard time, and here came the devil, that great deceiver, and he started telling them lies, and they started believing his lies, thinking, man, hey, let me ask you a question. How good was it when you was lost? How good was it when you was out in the world? How fun was it when the devil was leading you around by the nostrils? How fun was that? Oh, the devil will tell you, man, you used to have fun. Let me ask you a question. What in the name of God makes waking up with your clothes ripped off of you, laying in a puddle of your own blood? Why in the name of God is that fun? Why is it fun, Miss Stephanie, to wake up laying and waddling in your own vomit? Why? When did that become fun? When did it become fun to see the law ride down the road and you have to run and hide because you didn't know if it was coming for you or not? When was that fun? Junk ain't fun. When was it fun when you had to spend the night in jail? When was it fun when your kids had to go to bed hungry because you spent the last few dollars on some booze or dope? That wasn't fun, friend. But the devil said, man, y'all used to have some fun. You forget about all that hell. It's amazing. Forget about all that trouble. Forget about all that strife and grief. And you get out there, man, God's been so good to you, and we get so spoiled. First little old contrary thing comes our way, and the devil starts going, man, it ain't worth it. You remember back in the day? I don't like to make this comparison, but I don't know a better way to say it. I've never had a bad day with God. I've had ups and downs, but never a bad day. But my worst day with God is 10,000 worlds better than the best day I ever had with the devil. Amen. I never, never, it's no comparison, friend. I'm telling you, the lowest I've ever sunk in the family of God has always been better and higher and greater than the loftiest I ever was in the work and the life of Satan. Sure. It's not fun waking up with a hangover. It's not fun having to run down there to the doctor and finding some kind of cream because some stinking old thing gave you something over the weekend. You don't know what it is. It's not fun. So fun about that. I tell you, it's a lot better to wake up in love with your wife and, man, your kids be there. It's a lot better to have harmony. It's a lot better to have that fellowship with God. A lot better. Oh, son, there's going to be bumps in the road. Thank God, that's what we climb on. Once in a while in life, there's going to be some hard knocks. Once in a while, there's going to be some obstacles. And man, I'm telling you, we're trying to get from point A to point B sometimes, and everything's in the way. And I tell you, it seems like the ground underneath you just slips and slides. You take them bumps, praise God, and use them to climb on. Sure. You grab a hold of some of that stuff and say, thank God, through many danger, toils, and snares, I have already come. It's grace that's brought me safe thus far. And grace is going to lead me home. Right. What he did for you in the past, thank God he'll do for you today. If God ever brought you through a problem, he'll bring you through this one. The Bible says that they that love the Lord ought to hate evil. And people should have said, I hated it down there in Egypt. Hate that junk. I hate that ungodliness. Well, we were to have some zeal, shouldn't we? We were to be eat up with the zeal of the Lord. Psalms 119, verse 139 says, my zeal hath consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. The word of God. He said, the zeal of the Lord has consumed him. I like that. That's what we ought to be consumed with, the zeal of the Lord. That's right. The psalmist is saying what's eating him up is a desire to serve God. Right. Where's your desire to serve the Lord? That's the zeal, ladies and gentlemen. That's what zeal is, a desire to serve. That fervent desire to serve God, man. I want to serve God. What about this? We ought to be consumed with the church. Really, we ought to be. We ought to be consumed with the church, the family of God, the brethren, each other. We ought to be consumed with that. We're to let that eat us up. I'm telling you, man, we picked up and stuff. But I thank God for the church. I thank God for the church. Thank God that God put me. Hey, man, listen, I used to sit down. We're talking about old Brother Pat this morning. I used to hear old Brother Pat say stuff, and I really didn't get it sometimes. But now I see things that he said, J.D. Brother Pat used to talk about, man, he didn't have two nickels rubbed together. He gave every dime he had away. He'd go make $400. He'd give it away. I mean, he'd just give it away. Brother Pat, you couldn't outgive him. My goodness, man. I gave him something one time. I'm not kidding you. I gave him something one time. He turned around and bought me a $600 mattress. Oh, you know, and you turn around and give him something else and he'll buy you something bigger. I mean, just you can't outgive that old man. Last thing he ever done for me was he paid a bill off for me. You remember that? I owed a bill down there at the building center. And old Brother Pat said, I'll just take care of that for you. Don't worry about that. I'll take you. Ain't that a blessing? Oh, man. But he said this, Michael. He said, son, everywhere I go, he said, I got houses all over this country. You're a part-time preacher. You're an evangelist that tells the truth. So I know you ain't making no money there. And then you do plumbing. And you give all that away. So, I mean, hey, I got houses all over this land. And Brother Pat was staying down there with Lottie. Do y'all remember that house Lottie used to live in? I wouldn't have been bragging about that. Brother Pat thought he was in a palace. I'm telling you, that old man thought he was in a palace. Whoa. And I went with him down there to Amory, Mississippi, to Brother Mike Phillips' church. And Brother Mike's a beloved brother. Pastored that church down there for 40 years. And we pulled up down there in Amory, Mississippi, just outside of Tupelo, and there was a mailbox, and it said, Brother Pat. We pulled in, there was a little old Jim Walter home in there, Steve, about like what we grew up in, a little three-bedroom Jim Walter home, simple thing, but that was his. He didn't own it, but that church put his name on that mailbox, and when Brother Pat was in town, that's where he stayed. They gave him that to stay in. I don't want to say this and don't want to come across wrong. It's just the Lord's good to us. I've got friends, John David, all over America through the church, son. I can go to Florida and I've got some friends there. I got friends in South Carolina. I got friends in Tennessee. I got friends in Alabama. I got friends in Georgia. I got friends in Kentucky. I got friends in Pennsylvania. I got some friends in Virginia. I got friends in New York. I got friends all over this country through the church. I'm talking about the church. Me and Miss Stephanie was somewhere just the other day, and we woke up in a $2.3 million house. See, we woke up, that means we slept there. We went out there, we enjoyed, they got this big old jacuzzi, this big old hot tub thing, you know, you lift the lid up, best one I've ever been in. We've been in a Gatlin version, best one I've ever been in. I mean, things got stations in it, full body, this one works your upper body, this one works your lower body, this one works your legs, and this one works your whole body. Man, we've done that, got out of there, I got in that steam shower, and he got in there, got to choking. I didn't know if I was even doing it. I said, man, I could die in here. Didn't care. I just stayed with it. Amen. We woke up. Looking out there, boy, you look out there and you just see them mountains. That furniture in there, this, that couch and stuff, probably $10,000, $2.3 million house. I looked at my wife. I said, babe, I'm just talking about the Lord blessing you. I said, God sent this man to school for an awful long time. Gave him a mighty fine paying job. Just so me and you can have a place to enjoy. He said, man, that's crazy. That's just the way I look at it. That they have given me and her the key. I ain't got my keys. They have given me and her a key to that place. Told us that was our place. Y'all go enjoy that. Y'all can stay there all you want. We're not going to do it. We'll do that. But I went up there to do some work, JD. And I said, we'll stay. And I woke up and said, babe, won't you look at what God's done? I'm just telling you, but God used somebody else just to bless his people. Amen. Man, I'm telling you, God sent that man to an awful lot of school and gave him an awful lot of money just so me and her could enjoy that place that he bought for us up there. Say, what are you talking about being consumed with the church? Boy, God's been good to us. God's not no respecter of person. Well, he didn't save me especially. He saved me just like he saved everybody else. Old Joe Alford, I don't like to quote him much. I'm going to turn it. Joe diddle-diddle-do. Joe Arthur was preaching on that Rainbow Redeemer. I don't like quoting him a whole lot. But he has preached some good messages. He preached on that Rainbow Redeemer. Remember Don Lord, he preached on that Rose Redeemer. And he squished that rose in his hand, reached down there, and pulled that rose out of that pulpit. We all got goosebumps.
Lord and God, we was all back in our ungodliness the next day. It was good. Then he preached on that rainbow redeemer. God put that bow in the cloud. And I think the thing that he said that I really appreciated is, if you see a rainbow in Florida, it's going to be the same as if you see it in Africa. If you see one in Africa, it's going to be just the same as what you're going to see in Canada. Still a rainbow. And what he's trying to say is, Jesus Christ is the same. I don't care where you get. It's going to be the same Jesus in America versus Russia versus Canada, wherever you go. It's still going to be Jesus. And they've got one way to heaven, and it's through Jesus Christ. And boy, I'm going to tell you what, thank God what he's doing. Consuming us with the blessings of God, with the church. And we'll be consumed with that. I will be consumed with that. Ain't nothing like serving the Lord. And serving the Lord ought to consume us, ladies and gentlemen. It ought to consume us. We ought to be eaten up with God. I'm all for people working and making money. You really should do that. You should do that. Now, I think what some of these folks is doing, I listen to Miss Tanya talk about her pallets and doing her thing, and Amber and my wife, what she does. And I tried to sit my wife down not long ago and said, baby, you know, between that woman in Proverbs chapter 31, the Bible said she would go out and buy land and sell it and, you know, help take care of her family, and she would make them clothes and I don't know. I said,
some of this stuff y'all do. I told Stephanie, I said, you know what, you'll go over there and take care of that old woman, you know, and then bring that money home and buy some groceries. It's pretty good. I appreciate that. And sell some of your stuff and make a little money and try to help the family. That's just being part of it. Man, I'm just telling you. Serving your family, serving the Lord, all that stuff just goes in there hand in hand. Men doing what men do, women doing what women do, us just being obedient to the word of God, having a zeal for that, man, having a zeal to do the right things, just a desire for the house of God, a desire for the service of the Lord, a desire for the people of God. That's right. And I pray that this church right here could have a testimony that we're eat up with the things of God. That's what I'm getting. The second service, I guess that's what I'd want to get at. I want this church to have a testimony that we're, and folks, it's eat up with doing the things of God. They're eat up with the things. All they talk about is the Bible. Be a good testimony. You can't say nothing to them without them quoting some Bible verse. That's a good testimony. They might be slapping you in the face with, that's a pretty good testimony. Every time you say something to them, they quote a verse. Thank God for that. It's a blessing. So, Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, that you yourself are a consuming fire. And Lord, I've asked you in my prayer life time and time again that you might consume me, that you might set my soul on fire, dear God, for your honor and glory. I don't know any better way of saying it, dear Lord. Just give me that zeal and that desire. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help me get after it. Lord, start with my home. Start with my precious wife and my children. And just work my way right on out of the home, dear Lord, to a lost and dying world. Help us, dear God, to lay the foundation at home and then take off from there. God, help us, Lord, to have a zeal for God and the things of God. And lose, God, the zeal that we have for this old flesh and this old world. And God, I pray that we'd just be eaten up with the godliness, Lord, that we know. We give you the praise and the honor and glory for everything that's said and done. Lord, I pray that you'd bless each and every family. Keep them safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.